From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. This is indeed the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we're glad we've got two guests today. We have Monsignor James Kidder with us. Monsignor, good to see you again. Fellow Yolo County native. Pull that mic up.
I was there this morning.
You were a Holy Rosary graduate?
Yes, my 57th anniversary
wow.
as a priest.
So. Oh, wow, that's wonderful. It was Holy Rosary Academy in those days,
it
right?
It was. The Sisters of the Holy Cross owned it in those days.
Right.
And then it burned down when I was in sixth grade, and
yes,
the
it
parish
did burn
took
down.
It over.
Yep, you know? And you've got that... famous alum that many famous alums, including you.
Well, my high school was destroyed by a flood, and my college by an earthquake. So be careful.
Oh my goodness! Which college?
St. Joseph's.
Oh,
Mountain View.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. And Rich Zaccaroli joins us. I think I had Zaccaroli for dinner last night.
Well, I hope it was good.
With pasta sauce?
And, yeah, great. I hope it was good. As good as what I make at home.
Very good. Very good. Well, thanks for joining us, Rich. There's the Eucharistic revival going on right now, and we're going to have the big tour coming up next week and everything, and all ending up from four different directions in Indianapolis. But
yes.
In July, we're going to have a Eucharistic revival concert. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, on July 6th, we're going to, at the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament, revive a piece that was written and composed by Dave Brubeck.
Wow.
Back in 1983, called Pange Lingua Gloriosi Variations. It's a jazz-infused adaptation of the St. Thomas Aquinas Pange Lingua text and Gregorian chant. With Dave Brubeck's special touch, and so we're glad to be reviving this after 41 years. It was
wow.
originally performed over two nights at the cathedral in May of 1983.
And what was it written for? Do you know?
Well, it was written for a fundraiser at the time, and I think Monsignor Kidder probably can talk about it because he had a lot to do with it.
Oh, very good.
We were doing renovations at the cathedral. And we wanted to capture the approaching centennial of the cathedral. And we learned that Dave Brubeck had just been entered into the Catholic Church, and we wanted to capture his
uh-huh.
creativity at that point of becoming a Catholic and his devotion to the Eucharist.
Wow.
And those, as we indicated, Pange Lingua was St. Thomas Aquinas, and he had the variations in many different cultures.
Wow. And was Dave Brubeck in this diocese?
No. We contacted him in Connecticut.
Okay.
And we had our director of the Office of Worship at the time, Father Steinauer, who made the contact, and those two musicians clicked very well.
Wow. Wow. Did he come out to Sacramento?
Well, he did, and I had the job of taking him to dinner the night before
uh-huh.
for the rehearsal to keep him away because his director, Russell Gloyd, said, if he comes in here, he's never heard this. He's created it, but he's never heard it. He's going to want to make changes.
Oh, yeah.
Keep him away.
Keep him away.
So I had a delightful dinner with him. He's quite a spirit.
Very good. Very, very good.
He did grow up not far from here in Ione.
Oh, did he? In
yeah,
Ione.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
And graduated from UOP.
Oh, sure.
Rather famous there.
Well, yeah, exactly. UOP has always been famous for its music department. And yeah, exactly.
Right.
Wow.
So it's been a little bit of a journey. I think this was originally an idea that Bishop Soto wanted to have it performed in the cathedral
right.
again. And so Rex Rolenka, who's the director of music and liturgy, came to me and asked if I'd be interested in helping with it. And of course, I was after I'd done some research on it.
Is the cathedral your parish as well?
Yes, it is. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's been since we moved here. My wife, Lori, and I moved here from Chicago in 2012.
Okay.
The cathedral's been our parish. And I'm on the pastoral council. I'm a lector, Eucharistic minister, and I sing in the choir.
Oh, very good.
Occasionally as well. So we embarked on a journey for the composer's score that started at UOP, at the Conservatory of Music there, got led to another historian at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music, which eventually led us to the Wilton, Connecticut Library, where the Dave Brubeck Collection is now housed. They didn't have it, which eventually connected us, but they've connected us with the Brubeck family, Chris Brubeck and his wife, Tish. They did locate the conductor's score.
Is Chris a son? Or?
It's Chris's son, yes. And Chris actually performed in the original concert with his dad in 1983. So they located the score and not only agreed to send us the score, but if we agreed to hold the concert on July 6th, they would perform in it. Chris and his son Dan would perform in it, which they are. They're having there's a Brubeck jazz symposium in North Lake Tahoe the following week. So it was very convenient timing for all of that to happen.
Wow! Wow! So did you get a chance to talk to him about his conversion?
You know, I didn't personally. He was, when we went to dinner that night, he was a little nervous.
Mm-hmm.
This thing he had created, never heard yet.
Yeah.
Now, the beauty of the thing, it didn't take words from him. When he went into his improvisation with something he had never heard before, with his other, it was ecstatic. Wow. He was ecstatic.
He was ecstatic? That's he great. Ecstatic. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's connected with the Eucharistic revival.
Well, the heart of Panja Lingua is the theme of the Eucharist,
right,
and the universality of the Eucharist. Now, Dave was part Indian, and he had a wonderful appreciation for his heritage and expressed one of the versions in that heritage. It was going to be, again, a great thing to hear again.
Yeah, very good. So talk about the, not difficulties, but the challenges of putting this all together.
Well, having never produced anything like this before in my life, the whole thing has been a challenge, and it's been a journey. But Rex has some experience having conducted concerts in the cathedral in the past. So, but things have kind of fallen into place in a rather serendipitous, I might say divinely inspired way. First of all, the journey to the Brubeck family was a big part of that.
Sure.
And then I started talking about it with friends and neighbors. One neighbor is Kevin O'Brien, who is IT engineer in this building, lives four houses down the street from me here in Curtis Park. And he said, yeah, I was the original sound and light engineer on that concert in 1983. Well, guess what? Kevin's the sound and light engineer on the concert again this year.
Oh, that's great.
And then there were other serendipitous connections. There's a professor at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music who used to be at UOP by the name of Dr. Eric Arenas. He's a expert on this particular piece. He sang in it with Dave Brubeck at UOP in 2002, and he's going to provide us with a lecture of the piece about a half an hour before the concert.
Oh, very good.
So that'll be very interesting, and he'll probably sing in it as well, so that'll be very interesting as well. But it's putting together the program. Rex is obviously, he's the music director, so he's taking care of all of the artistic portions of it. I'm doing the marketing and promotion end of it, but with a great committee of folks from the cathedral who have joined us to put all this together, developing the program, soliciting advertisers and promoters, getting help here from the diocese, getting connections with the Catholic Foundation for participation and donations. It's just a lot of those pieces are just all basically coming together. And we've just started selling tickets on TicketSpice, a ticketing website, about 2 weeks ago. And in the last several days, they started selling fairly robustly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We've got advertisements that have appeared in the Catholic Herald that just came out about a week or so ago and will appear in the next Catholic Herald. We've got advertisements appearing in the Sacramento Choral Society catalogs.
Oh, they have a huge following.
Yes. I sing with them as well.
Oh, do you?
The Sacramento Symphony and Opera. It's going to be in the Don Giovanni catalog this week.
You're on the Bishop's Hour, it's going to sell. It's going to sell out.
Absolutely. This is just the icing on the cake here.
That's great. Tell us, you mentioned Chris Brubeck and Dan Brubeck. What are they up to these days?
Well, right now they're touring Switzerland and France as we speak with the Chris Brubeck Trio. They're still up to music and still up to producing and performing music around the world.
Did they perform a lot with their dad?
I believe they did back in the day. Yes, I believe they did quite a bit of performing with their dad, particularly Chris, from what I understand.
And what about Joe Gilman? I see Joe Gilman on the list.
Sure.
Here.
Joe's a pretty renowned pianist from here in Sacramento. He's a professor at Sacramento State University. He has frequently performed with the Brubeck Trio in the past, Chris Brubeck Trio. Since Darian Brubeck is in London and can't make it back for the concert, Joe is going to play piano in his place.
And Neil Gittleman?
Neil Gittleman is the conductor of the Dayton Symphony Orchestra. Okay. I'm sorry, Dayton Symphony Orchestra in Ohio. He has a connection with Rex, and he's agreed to conduct the orchestra and the choir.
Monsignor, tell us a little more about Pangue Lingua, what that means, what is the essence of that?
The essence is God's presence in our life. You're talking now about the meaning of the peace.
Right. Okay.
God's presence in our life, what Christ has done in terms of giving his life to separate us from sin, and equally important is resurrection, to be with us, to make the future better.
Yeah. Coming right on the heels of Ascension. What used to be Ascension Thursday, and now Ascension Sunday. Yes. What, 3 days later? But
yes.
We'll take it whenever it was.
We all remember Ascension Thursday.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So was he inspired to write this because of his conversion, or to?
Well, I can't say that, but we asked him because of his conversion, and knowing how enthusiastic he was, and wanting to give him a chance to express it creatively,
yeah,
his enthusiasm for the Eucharist.
Was there a big crowd the first time?
Yes, so you had trouble keeping people out.
Yeah. Yeah.
There really was a lot of excitement over it.
More importantly, what did he have for dinner the night before?
It would have been chicken.
Chicken, okay.
He was very, very careful about cholesterol.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, that's great. So maybe list nuts and bolts ticket prices and where they can get them. And
sure. Just a few more notes about the event itself.
Oh, absolutely.
We're going to have a wine and cheese reception for 2 hours before the event begins. That'll begin at 6 p.m. on July 6th. There'll be voluntary tours of the cathedral conducted by our cathedral docents that'll be available to attendees of the wine and cheese reception. Then Dr. Eric Arenas will give the lecture at about 7:30, and the concert will begin around 8. We're hoping to have the bishop say a few words before the concert. He has said he will attend. I'm sure he'll say a few words as well. In addition to Panje Lingua Variations, we're going to perform a couple of other pieces by Dave Brubeck, God's Love Made Visible and All My Hope, several pieces that have been written by Dan Forrest. There will be another piece called Elegy, which is which was written by Dr. Lewis Songer, whose daughter Rachel is the cantor and sings in the choir at the cathedral.
She is brilliant. She's one. She's not just one of my favorites. She's my all-time favorite. She's fabulous.
She is fabulous. And we're lobbying to have the Chris Brubeck Trio do Take Five finish the concert.
Wow.
But we'll see about that. We're getting a little resistance on that maybe, but hopefully that he will.
So. Sometimes it can be spontaneous, you know. Right. You get enough.
He played Take Five the first time.
Oh, wow.
Well, there we go. I think we'll get him hooked then. Ticket prices range from $25 to $75 for the best seats. The wine and cheese reception is an additional $50. We anticipate being able to sit approximately 900 people, assuming we don't open the balcony. If tickets are selling that robustly, we may find a way to either open the balcony or broadcast the event outside in front of the cathedral.
Or you just move it over to Golden One. It's just down the street.
There you go. The cathedral is the right place.
I think that's the right venue. Yeah.
That's the right venue.
The cathedral was a sacrament, Eucharist.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, it's funny. When I was a kid going to public school in Davis, although I did go to Holy Rosary one year. Yeah. And we were studying history of California, and I think it was about fourth grade, and the word Sacramento kept coming up, and so I raised my hand and I said, because it's not a normal word, and I asked the teacher, I said, what's Sacramento named after? And I kind of knew the answer, and she just turned white, you know, it's like, and she says, I'll get back to you on that. So the next day she calls me up after school, and she says, I have an answer to your question. And I said, oh, okay, what's Sacramento named after? And she says, the Sacramento River, which is actually true. Yeah, you know, but it was an honest answer, but...
Didn't get to the root of it. Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
So, but what can be better than a city, the capital city of the most populous state of the most magnificent country in the world, than to be named after the Blessed Sacrament?
Nothing could be better.
Yeah.
We're privileged.
We are, aren't we? We really, really are. Just remembering my day, my year at Holy Rosary. I went one year, sixth grade. I'm not quite sure. You know, it's a commute from Davis, and I'm not quite sure if there was a school transition or something going on. And Dad says, we're all a year apart. My sister's is 8th, 7th, 6th, 5th, and you're all going to Holy Rosary. He drove us over there every day. And if any time we saw a pheasant, we got a nickel. Because there were pheasants everywhere in those days, you know. Yeah, you don't see the pheasants much anymore, you know. And everything was sugar beets and tomatoes, and there's no sugar beets anymore. It's all almonds.
The odor's gone too.
The which?
The odor from them.
Oh yeah. Oh boy.
Spreckles.
Well, the Spreckles was right between Woodland and Davis, when the north wind would blow, and Davis would be going, oh my gosh, that's Spreckles. It's sugar, but it was not a pleasant smell, and there would. I remember there was one corner on one of the country roads. There aren't very many corners on the country roads. They're all straight. But there was this one, and we called it Sugar Beet Corner because they would load the trucks up, and then they'd come around the corner too fast, and these sugar beets, which looked like giant, ugly radishes, would flow off the truck, and we'd scramble out and pick them up. It just, I don't know what we did with them. We thought if we cut into them, there would be sugar. But there wasn't. But growing up in Yolo County, as Monsignor knows, it was a privilege.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Monsignor, thank you for. Did I leave anything out? Anything you'd like to add? Because
I don't think so. I think we're good. I think covered the history. I think we covered the event. And we just
another shot for where they can get their tickets?
Yes, on TicketSpice. And there's an advertisement, as I said, that has appeared in a number of places, including this month's Catholic Herald.
We've got the Herald right here.
Yep. There is a the website is in the ad, as well as a QR code. They can just point their phone to the QR code and get to tickets that way. So, yeah, that's the site is called TicketSpice.com.
Very good.
And that's where they'll find it.
Well, Rich, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Monsignor Kidder, thank you so much. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy Ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
This is Deacon Kevin Stasko, the Director of the Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministry and Family and Faith Formation, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Welcome back. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour, and we're just thrilled and pleased to have Father Jovito Rata join us, the pastor at All Hallows St. Peter's right here in Sacramento. Father, good day to you.
Good day to you, Bob, and all the radio's listeners out there.
Appreciate you taking the time to be with us. We used to see you in the building here. You were the vocations director for a while. And
yes.
Now you are at a beautiful parish here in Sacramento.
Correct.
And coming up next month, I know this is probably one of the main reasons you became a priest is to play in the priest seminarian basketball game.
That's right. That's one of my dreams and aspiration.
That's very good. Tell us, what is it? I mean, this basketball game, which is coming up on the 18th of June at Christian Brothers, doors open at 6:30. The game starts at 7. Why is this game so?
Yes.
It's popular with the fans for sure. Why is it so popular with the priests and the seminarians?
I think it's a different environment for the people that to see and watch their priest playing the basketball. It's not just about celebrating Mass, doing all the sacraments with their clerical clothes and their pants. it's a different, I mean, wearing shorts and playing the ball, you can see that the priests are real people, like
right.
they are one of us, you know? I mean, that's why they are very fascinated to watch the game and enjoyment and fun.
And everybody has their favorite priest. It's like you each have your own little rooting section.
Correct.
So will you be bringing a large contingent from All Hallows St. Peter's?
I think so, yeah. We order some of tickets to promote vocations, and I keep telling them, like, there is no mercy at the court, only at the confessional.
That's great. that's funny. So do you have an outdoor court right there that you could practice on? Or do you have a gym?
Yeah, we have we have outdoor, and then we have the gym too. So yes, it's good. We have some youth group here that I can play with them some Wednesdays or Thursdays. So yes, we've been practicing.
You came in, I remember one game, it was late, and you hit three straight threes to turn the game around. Do you practice the three?
Right now, because if you are getting old, it's going to rusty. But yeah, with the grace of God, we're relying on His grace.
You may as well get 3 points for a basket as two, right? I mean, it's hard work. You may as well get three for it.
Yes. Yeah, just trying. I mean, it's different if you are in the age of golden age, almost there, so it's different.
Yeah, I have a basketball hoop over my garage, you know, and go out there and play with my kids. And
yes.
the day comes when, you know, when they're little and you're showing them how to do it and all that, and then they start growing, and then pretty soon they're taller than you are. And then they're faster than you are, and they're smarter than you are. And now I don't even score when I play against them.
Yes, that's life, the cycle of life.
The cycle of life. Except cycle makes it sound like it comes around again. It just it doesn't come back around.
Yeah, I know. Your spirit is willing, but your body is weak.
It's true, because you imagine these shots going in, and now they're not even hitting the rim. You know, they're air balls.
Correct.
You
know? Yeah.
Yeah. It's a strange phenomenon. That's all I can say. You know, with it, you're physically not as capable as you once were. But you know, the priest seminarians, for a long time it was priests versus seminarians. And now we've sort of
Correct.
Combined the whole roster and then divide the teams up. We were wondering, how do they divide the teams up? Do they just put the names in a hat and draw them out, or do the team captains get to kind of take turns picking the players, or how does that work?
Yeah, it will be divided. I talked to now it's Bishop Elect
right.
Ray and Father Freddy. We try to divide it according to the size and then according to their skills and their talent. So on the court, so we know how to put them in Team A or Team B.
Okay. And yeah, Father Ray is going to be the Bishop of Basketball, as I understand it.
Yes. And I talked to him 2 days ago, and he will be joining us in the court, which is good.
Oh, very good. Very good. That will be excellent.
That will be a good vocation and promotion. Yeah.
Are people going to kind of back off and let him have an easy layup, or are they going to, you know, how do you defend a bishop?
You cannot defend a bishop.
I don't think so.
let him shoot, yes.
I think so. Help, maybe even help it go in.
Correct, yes.
Yeah. That's wow. That's going to be that's you know, if I will be the course on the public address, and it's the most fun game I ever call every year. I love that game. It's so much fun, and they bring real referees in, and the thing that I notice most often, there aren't very many fouls called. There's a few, but traveling, they call traveling all the time. People stop dribbling and they start running with the basketball.
Correct.
Yeah, it's like
one of the things that I'm sorry to cut it off. One of the things that I really like is we are not only gathering on a place of worship, but we are gathering on the real fun and entertainment to watch their priest, not only for praying, but enjoying life.
Yes.
And full of life, that we see the real priests, they're human beings, that they're capable of entertaining themselves and part of the member of their families, like shouting and dribbling. And yes, it's a beautiful thing that the kids or the youth will see that priest is not just about praying at the church, but priest is with us, and they are walking with us, and they are traveling and journeying with us.
Now, I can imagine, maybe it is not the whole reason, but I can imagine a kid watching this and ultimately ending up with a vocation because of, you know, seeing like what you say, oh, wow, they're out there having fun. Obviously, there's the very serious and very religious and element, but like you say, you're normal human beings out there having fun, and I see a kid really relating this and saying, "I'm gonna explore this."
Yes, and then I remember like 5 or 6 years ago, some of the kids watching basketball, now they are seminarians.
Oh yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, there's always a value, and there's always an effect of this playing basketball. I mean, it's really a vocation promotion thing.
Yeah. Now, how are you preparing for the game?
I think, of course, prayer, so that there will be no injuries, of course. And also do some practicing. And I told some of the priests that because of the hectic time and it's really hard to gather and then play together. So it's up to them to find their own leisure time to shoot or to practice in their own gym. Yeah.
I would think it would be almost impossible to get an entire team of priests together, have the same time off together, and then some
correct
of them would have to travel, obviously. I think it would be almost impossible
correct
for you to really practice very much together before the game.
Correct. To tell you frankly, there are some priests that playing that game, they just play that moment, and then
that's
they're
it
waiting for another year to play again.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, that's right. And sometimes it shows.
Yes.
Well, it's gonna be so much fun. Again, it is Tuesday, the 18th of June. It's at Christian Brothers High School in their gym. They always open it up for us. They roll out the red carpet. The snack bar's open. You can get hot dogs and nachos and soda and candy and popcorn and all that. Everybody, you know, you don't even have to eat dinner first. Just come and have a snack and really come to support the Vocations Office. It is a fundraiser for the Office of Vocations. And it follows quickly on the dinner, which will take place the previous Saturday, the 15th, up in Auburn. So it's a big Vocations not quite weekend, but it's a big Vocations gathering on Saturday and then again on Tuesday. Do you have any predictions about who's going to win the game?
I have no idea. I mean, the game is just incredible, and a lot of miracles will happen. That's the reason why there is no prediction of who's winning.
Yeah, well, see, that's it. Is I think God is controlling the outcome of this one. So you you can practice
correct.
All you want to, but that one
yeah,
shot
the
might
good,
not
the
go
good
in.
Thing. Correct. The good thing is the people are joining us, praying with us, and in watching us. That's already a winning game for us.
Boy,
yes.
That's so well said. That's right. Yeah, and when you do practice, you can call yourself practicing Catholics.
Correct.
So, wow. Well, I'm certainly looking forward to it. And I appreciate you taking the time, Father Jovito Rata, the pastor at All Hallows St. Peter's, and a beautiful parish here in Sacramento. And we'll look forward to seeing you on the 18th of June, if not before. And now you'll have a little bit of time now. Maybe you can go practice this afternoon.
Yes, a little bit. So thank you so much, Bob, for your service, and Gabe also, thank you. And for all the Bishop's Hours listener, you are all invited to join us for prayer and in spirit. And yes, we will do it to God be the glory. We're doing this for the Lord. So
amen. And you know what always gets me, Father, right through the heart and tears in my eyes is when all the priests and seminarians and the Bishop Soto and everybody gathers at center court at the end of the game to sing Salve Regina.
Yes, that's a very fascinating experience.
And some years Bishop Wiegand has been there as well.
Yes, I think that's our identity of who we are. Winning or losing about life, we are all one together.
Right. Amen. Well, Father, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the 18th.
Thank you, Bob, and to all the listeners out there, God bless you all.
And God bless you too, Father. Thanks so much. That's Father Jovito Rata, the pastor at St. Joseph's All Hallows here in South Sacramento. Gabe,
I'm a good center. No one's asked me to play yet, but I mean, I'm not a seminarian or a priest, so I guess
you could become. You'd have to be a seminarian first,
right?
But maybe you could become an auxiliary seminary. I don't know, a emergency seminarian. You know, I mean,
back when I was playing football, they tried to make me a volunteer firefighter to play in the Guns N' Roses game.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, it's called deputizing somebody.
Right, yeah,
You're on the spot. Let's say everybody fouls out of the game, or they pull a muscle, and they're down to four players. They need a fifth player, and they
right.
look in the stands, and they say, Gabe,
yeah.
Here's a shirt. Here's a uniform. The real problem is they're not going to have a shirt that fits you.
It's like we're going skins.
Yeah. Sure. See, Gabe, so many people have had from their childhood, usually in PE,
yeah.
in high school, a basketball game, because you don't have uniforms. You're all in the same PE class.
Right.
And you have shirts and skins.
Yep.
And one team was wearing their T-shirts, and the other team are shirtless. And let me just say that skins was not my best outfit.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure that outfit, that uniform was brought up by the team with the best looking skins, because it was always those guys were like, "We'll do shirts and skins. We'll be skins." And it was never a debate.
Well, we had a guy in our high school. He never even worked out, but he just he was just all muscle.
You know?
And
that was the kid in middle school who already had leg hair and stuff. Okay.
I know. Yeah. And everybody matures at a different, a different rate. And
you're a full grown man at 12.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I was going to remind everybody about the podcast here.
Yes.
Those who haven't subscribed yet. We've heard some stuff of people are worried that, if they subscribe, then somehow they're going to get, spam emails or what have you. And it's not like that at all. If you subscribe, and you go to whatever podcast platform your phone offers. Most people have iPhones nowadays. It comes preloaded. You can also go to the app for Podbean, and that's where we load our podcasts onto. But if you do that, then it will not spam you. It will not give you emails or anything. All it does is when you reopen that app, it tells you how many shows that you have not listened to yet. It'll say you have, you know, 3 unlistened to shows or 4 or what have you. There's nothing about it that is intrusive into your life whatsoever. So if you subscribe, you just hit the little subscribe button. You can also rate and review the show. Only 5-star ratings are allowed by Bob and I, not by iTunes. But go ahead and just rate and review. And then what that does is, it's not self-serving for us. What it actually does is it pushes us up the algorithm of the podcast app, and it tells the podcast app that more people like our show. Therefore, more people may want to listen to our show who aren't listening to it, and it suggests that podcast to people who are kind of just sort of bumping around the podcast app. And by doing that, you are actively helping spread the word of the Sacramento Diocesan Catholic Church. So it is your way of evangelizing, if you will, by having people listen to the Bishop's Hour. So it is definitely a positive all the way around. Plus, you get to know what you've missed. You can also listen to it off of scd.org, which is the Sacramento Catholic Diocese's our actual website. You scroll down a bit and you'll see the Bishop's Hour little button right there. You click on that and the shows are archived there for at least a couple weeks, maybe more, and you can listen to the shows. And I label all the shows before I upload them as to who's on the show, so you know who's on the show. You know their function as to why they're on. It may not necessarily say exactly what they're talking about, but I believe we had Kevin Staskow on, and I just put that Kevin Staskow is the director of Youth and Young Adult Ministries. Now, he talks about a wide range of things, so I don't want to, you know, bore everybody with the explanations as to what he's talking about, so I just kind of give you a header as to who he is. That way, people can listen, not listen. You can figure out what it is you're into. Bob's talking to we have some principals coming on here in the next couple weeks. If you're into the schools and you want to learn more about our schools, you can listen to them. If you want to share it with somebody, there's a share option on all of those platforms, including, I believe, our one on our website. And then, of course, there's the old-fashioned radio on Relevant Radio, 9 p.m. on Relevant Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. on a Saturday, where you can listen to our show that way as well.
Very good. Yeah. It's wonderful to see them all archived and just boom, you just and you've explained who's on, you know, and on this date, you just hit it, boom, listen. It's great stuff.
Yeah, we try our best to make sure that everybody is fully informed as to what's going on here in their diocese, and what's going on with our show, because you know, the show is here to represent the diocese, and our show is here to represent what you have going on too. I mean, if you've heard the show, it's one of those things. I think there's always a slight disconnect, I think, with the fans of a show like this and the guests of a show like this, when in reality, you as a fan can be a guest on our show. Just the only real requirement is that it's something that is going on in our diocese that is a Catholic program or something that ties into our diocese. So if you
somebody
have
somebody doing something great in your parish, like a parish ministry,
exactly.
Sometimes it needs a shot in the arm, a little publicity, or a special event you're having, and sometimes it's a way to recognize people that are doing the Lord's work out in the vineyard. Maybe a fifth grader that started some kind of a program to help people, it doesn't always have to be somebody who won something, or, you know, is, and we have plenty of room for those people too.
We like winners. We like winners.
We like winners.
But we also like people who aren't keeping score either.
Yeah. But there are so many people doing so many great things. Or maybe you want to start a ministry. Maybe you want to help out somewhere. Or maybe you're a member of something and you've had a wonderful experience. Maybe you've been the recipient of something wonderful from one of our great Catholic organizations or individuals, and you want to tell us your story. I remember one of the most moving shows I ever ever remember from my standpoint as a host was when a husband and wife came in to share their joint experience at a Rachel's Vineyard retreat. It was heart-wrenching. It was beautiful. It was also every emotion you could think of and brave on their part as well. And they wanted to tell their story because they thought it would help other people in the same situation. So, you know, those kinds of things, we're always looking for that. Sometimes people think, well, they must have a Rolodex of names. And people still have Rolodexes, Gabe? Is there such? You're too young to even know what a Rolodex is.
No, I was thinking, I'm like, is it really what I use my digital sort of address book considered the next generation of a Rolodex? I mean, it serves the same function as a Rolodex.
Yeah, and you know, they think, well, we got all these names on the Rolodex, and we just pull one out. And no, everybody's on that Rolodex, and we really want to hear your story. And if it's not your story, it might be somebody else's, and you could suggest them to us. So,
well, and I remember the same thing you were saying. I remember one time, I believe it was the Sacramento Life Center has their gala, and which is, you know, coming up, not soon, but
November.
Soon enough. Yeah, November. We had somebody, I think we were talking to Marie Leatherby about it, and someone had reached out to us saying that they were, because I think you had said to Marie on the air that you had wanted somebody to come on at some point who could actually talk about being, you know, being helped by them. And it was many years ago, and she ended up coming on and talking about it just because she heard on the show. So if you hear something that you're part of, you know, and that you're like, oh, I could contribute to that conversation, email radio@scd.org. That is my email. I'm the one who books the people to be on the show. So you get your email to me and it gets directly to the person it needs to get to. And then I get it to Bob. So it's radio@scd, that is Sacramento Catholic Diocese, so radio@scd.org, and it gets to me. And like Bob said, if you're starting a ministry, I mean, those of you who've heard Jane Lee on our show, she started her own ministry, and she's now been on the show a bunch of times, and we, you know, try to have her on to talk about her ministry. It's not, there's no, you know, secret code word, you know, all the gatekeepers you have to get past, you know, to get on other shows. We're here for you guys. So I am the gatekeeper, and I'm telling you right now, I'd love to hear an email from you.
Very good. Very good. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening, everyone. God bless. We'll talk with you again soon. I want to take a minute to talk about the annual Catholic Appeal, the 2024 annual Catholic Appeal. So important here in the Diocese of Sacramento. So many ministries supported by the annual Catholic Appeal, and the people in the Diocese of Sacramento have always been so generous. But a wonderful brochure, a pamphlet really, that you may have received in the mail, and on the back cover, a picture, maybe it's front, I guess that's the front cover, Deacon Kevin Staskow says, I really think that everyone has something to give. When Jesus was literally dying on the cross, he found the strength to turn to the thief being crucified next to him and minister to that person. So often we have all kinds of excuses not to reach out to those next to us. Indeed, today you will be with me in paradise. And you look through this brochure and you will learn the many, many, many ministries that are supported by the annual Catholic Appeal. And 25% of your donation goes back to the parishes for social ministry at your parish. 50% supports charities, Catholic Charities of Sacramento, and the members in that are Catholic Charities of Yolo Solano, Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, which serves Butte, Glen, Shasta, Siskiyou, Tehama, and Trinity counties in this 20-county diocese, and Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services right here in the greater Sacramento area. Also, associate members are Camp Recreation, serving Northern California, the Mother Teresa Maternity Home in Placerville, the Rancho Cordova Food Locker in greater Sacramento, the Upper Room Dining Hall in Placerville. Many of you have worked at those places, are very familiar with those places, or have availed yourself of the wonderful services they provide. 25% supports education, seminary and formation, and Catholic school tuition assistance. Partners in the annual Catholic Appeal and Catholic Charities of Sacramento include Anderson Cottonwood Christian Assistance, Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home right here in Sacramento that does such wonderful work, the Catholic Ladies Relief Society up in Chico, Community Assistance Network in Greenville, Portola, and Quincy up in the hills, Loaves and Fishes in Sacramento, which just does wonderful work with the homeless, Sacramento Life Center, which has saved so many lives here in the Sacramento area, Salvation Army Food Shelf in Susanville, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul and their seven district councils, the North State, Placer, Yuba, Sutter, Butte, Sacramento East, South Sacramento, Elk Grove, Sacramento Metro Area, and Yolo Delta and Solano. Also, the Stanford Settlement Neighborhood Center in Sacramento and the Wellsprings Women's Center in Sacramento, plus Yuba City, Yuba Sutter, Right to Life, the two counties just north of Sacramento. More than 100 programs provide things like counseling, emergency fund, shelter and clothing, permanent and transitional housing, job training, pregnancy counseling, post and prenatal care, independent living skills, mentoring, parenting skills, after school care, refugee resettlement, citizenship and immigration services, and jail ministry. Our gifts help people who are mentally ill, homeless, disaster survivors, immigrants, elderly, developmentally disabled, incarcerated, working families, refugees, at-risk youth, the unborn, pregnant women, the hungry, and single parents. Such a wide, wide range of our Catholic mission here on this earth and in this Diocese of Sacramento. One of the programs through Northern Valley Catholic Social Services is the Court of Appointed Special Advocate Program, which is operated out of all the superior courts in the state of California, and it partners with Northern Valley Catholic Social Service to help kids who need advocates in the courts. They talk about, in this pamphlet, a young woman named Isabel, who is devoted to ensuring a positive support system for foster kids now and for their future. As a court-appointed special advocate, a program administered with compassion and dedication by Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, Isabel gives kids the voice they need in court to have a positive path in life. She was once in foster care herself. The severe trauma a child goes through is all too familiar. Today, she's reunited with her parents, has a family of her own, and is focused on becoming a lawyer. Northern Valley Catholic Social Services gives her the opportunity to advocate in court for children with stories like hers. Again, the annual Catholic Appeal, give generously, give whatever you can, whether it's a small amount, a large amount. Also, more men can say yes to the call to the priesthood. Support from the annual Catholic Appeal helps seminarian Eric Patrick, who is pictured in this brochure, to become Father Eric Patrick this past June. We've had him on our program, a delightful priest. Father Patrick is earnestly hopeful that he can be a conduit for the experience of God's mercy and love. With costs offset by the appeal, the 12 men now in seminarian formation can focus less on financial worries and more on preparing to serve in our parishes. The annual Catholic Appeal, a wonderful, wonderful way to support so many ministries in the Diocese of Sacramento. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down